This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Right, text in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. 713-572-4610. We're looking for one more 5 Reasons I Hate You. One more reason for the next segment to hate Dallas. There's plenty out there, but I wanted to give you guys a voice. Thus far, most of them have to do with the fan base, so maybe the one reason will be an amalgam of Dallas fan texts. We'll see, but you've got 20 minutes or so to text in, so send in your reasons why you hate the Dallas Cowboys or Dallas in general so very much. The biggest spectacle of this weekend, I think, of what's going to be a pretty fun sports weekend. I'm very excited to just sit around and watch sports this weekend.
Yeah.
The biggest spectacle it will be tonight, ironically, at AT&T Stadium. In Dallas, in Arlington.
Mm.
It will be the fight that will be carried on Netflix between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul.
Yes.
Eight two-minute rounds.
Yeah. Wearing heavy gloves.
Yep.
Which I know some people don't know. That makes it safer, at least for knockouts.
Okay.
There's some, I did way too much of a rabbit hole deep dive on this. They think that maybe the heavy gloves in sparring might actually be worse over time. Okay. But in general, the heavier gloves, they cushion the blows a little bit more. You're less likely to knock somebody out. You're also less likely to break your own hand.
Yeah.
So that very much feels like, hey, Mike Tyson is 60 years old, by the way. And also, look, Jake Paul's bringing a lot of money to the sport. We don't want him to get brained by one in the early rounds, especially. I think they'd probably worry that, like, man, if it goes into the eighth round, then Jake Paul's probably got the advantage. But if Tyson just connects on one punch in one of the early rounds, then, yeah, we need to keep Jake Paul alive as long as possible.
It's fascinating. The betting on this, the public is all over Mike Tyson, and this feels like a sentimental pick more than anything,
yeah.
You know. Ironically, Mike Tyson, the guy who went to prison, bit a guy's ear off on pay-per-view, is now everybody's darling. The Hangover movie.
He's a lovable old man. Well, because he's very reflective on his early.
He is.
He's expressed deep regret for the way he used to be.
No question.
And still is in a lot of ways.
Yes.
He still feels conflicted about his, at times, murderous impulses.
Indeed. So he's the public darling right now. 90%, as of yesterday, 90% of the tickets are on Tyson. But the big money bets,
the smart money,
the sharp money, the uber rich money is coming in on Jake Paul. DraftKings has taken two $500,000 bets. There's another outlet I saw a headline this morning that took $1 million bet on Jake Paul. I saw Dave Portnoy of Barstool, who himself is a very wealthy individual. He's the founder of Barstool Sports. He was basically saying, how is Jake Paul only minus 200? He should be minus 10,000. The last time we saw Mike Tyson, he was not good at all, and he was 20 years younger. Now he's 60.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm I've been guilty of, I initially thought for sure, like, of course Tyson's, like, he's a legitimate boxer. Yep. Jake Paul's fought MMA guys in boxing, which is not the same.
Not the same.
And yet, the 60-year-old thing, you know what I did, Sean? Just to look it up, to be sure. Because people were really hammering, like, hey, he is 60. And in my mind, they're like, no, he's Iron Mike.
Yeah.
The record, so for, you know, people run the mile in less than 4 minutes all the time these days.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the record is for the fastest mile run by somebody who's 60 years old?
Ooh,
or older?
That's a good one. Okay. And so we're on point, he's 58, but we're just using 60 as sort of a benchmark.
Yeah.
The record mile for someone 60 or older, I'm going to say, is 4 minutes and 52 seconds.
Yeah, wow. 4 minutes, 49 seconds.
Okay, wow. All right.
But that's a big drop-off, man.
Oh, from doing under 4 minutes? Hell yeah.
I kind of thought, now maybe some of the truly world-class elites, if they kept training and ran a mile.
That's the record holder, okay?
That's the record holder. Right, but also, I don't know how many of those guys are. Plus, it's not like the mile is the conventional event anymore. But it's not like, okay, how many Olympic champions are still training hard and trying to run and break a record
that's
in a mile at the age of 60?
Yes.
So that's where I feel like there's no precedent for this other than looking at George Foreman, who was, what, in his late 40s when he was making his comeback?
Mm-hmm.
You're in uncharted territory for, okay, you take one of the best in the world at the age of 58, and how much does it affect their endurance versus a guy who's not a genuine real contender.
Yeah.
I know it feels impossible to handicap, and yet all the sharps out there seem to be pretty down on the age factor on this one.
Are you going to bet on this? You've started to dip your toe in the gambling.
No. I'm in way too. The very fact that I thought for sure Tyson would be favored in this means that I'm way too far out over my skis already. Yeah. There's no amount of I can't be trusted with making a sound decision on this.
Oh my God! So we've had all the different boxes to check on this thing that go with a spectacle, because we've had a lot of social media back and forth. The fight got postponed one time already. We had a slap from Tyson to Jake Paul at the weigh-in yesterday. Did you see that?
Mm. No, I didn't.
Slapped
see it.
Just slapped him across the face at the weigh-in.
This will be decided in the 3 minutes leading up to the fight and whatever Tyson's mindset is. Because I feel, given that, and we're going to hear philosophical Mike Tyson, we're going to hear very existential, really nihilistic Mike Tyson here coming up in a moment. But it all hinges on whether Tyson feels like, all right, I'm going to feel this out. And I'm going to kind of maybe be a gentleman about this, and I'll just be a technician for 8 rounds.
Yeah.
Versus, does he go out there with seeing red and just want to destroy him in the first round?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. If killer Mike Tyson goes out there in the first round, then I feel really good about it. With each ensuing round, I'm going to get more and more nervous.
Okay,
yes.
I'm with you on that. Okay, so let's get to what you were talking about here. Mike Tyson, they've been doing a lot of press over the last few days for this thing, a lot of last-minute promotion. By the way, you can see the fight on Netflix, so it's not a pay-per-view where you got to pay $59.99. It's a Netflix fight, so if you have a Netflix membership, you're able to watch the fight tonight. I can't wait to watch it just to see what this thing looks like. Mike Tyson did an interview with a 13-year-old reporter named Jazzy. Her name is Jazzy, and she is Jazzy.
Pleasant-looking young lady. Oh, she's got her glasses on. She's playing the role of professional sports reporter, and she's got a chance to interview Mike Tyson.
Chance to interview Mike Tyson, and here's how it went.
In your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend Mike Tyson in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I get dead? Why do you want somebody, do you think somebody really wants to think about you? How, what's the audacity? I think, I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone?
That's an F-bomb.
My kids, maybe, your grandkids.
Okay. Is that,
Tyson's going to win in one. This thing's going to last 33 seconds.
I'm afraid he might bring a gun to the ring or something.
Dude, it was, at first, it started a little bit, you know, he was being a little philosophical about it. That he started, when he dropped the F-bomb on the 13-year-old reporter, that's and you got to, everybody listen to that. You got to picture this. For one, she's 13.
Yeah.
Two, it's like a stand-up interview in front of some backdrop. It wasn't like a sit-down, like, let's have a long conversation about this. I thought she did very, very well.
Very well.
And, like, getting an answer she did not anticipate at all. Being genuinely kind of taken aback by the frankness of the response. And she didn't know quite exactly where to pivot off of that. I think she did as well as better than maybe 75% of adult reporters would have done on that.
100%. I don't know if all these big broadcasting schools like Syracuse scout kids on their YouTube channels when they're young, making sure we're getting the best of the best to our school. You can do that easier nowadays because kids have their... I would get 13-year-old Jazzy on my radar right now if I were a broadcasting school. I thought she's got great energy too, man. Like she was really good. I thought she did a really good job.
Did she say somebody asked her to ask that question, or was that what she came up with?
I don't know. Let's play it off the top again and see.
Yeah, play just the question.
Yeah.
In your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and
done?
That's
her question, man.
I'd say, as far as the question itself goes, I feel a little bit of, I myself kind of chafe at legacy questions. So whenever even adult reporters ask a legacy question, I'm kind of like, all right, maybe you get something good here. But it's a fair enough question. Very fair question.
I'm guessing, here's what I'm guessing happened. I'm guessing Jazzy found out the day before, or maybe she's known for a few days, she's going to get to interview Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And so she's at the kitchen table with her parents the night before, what are some good questions I can ask Mike Tyson? And to be fair, I'm guessing her parents aren't in broadcasting, so they're thinking of, they're more inclined to probably think of the more basic questions, like, you know what, ask him about his legacy, you know?
Well, it's tough, though, too. Think about little young Jazzy there asking this question who, I mean, she sounds like she had done her research. Probably. And a lot of stuff's going to come up with Mike Tyson where I kind of feel like maybe just don't have the 13-year-old interview. Don't have the 13-year-old. If she wanted to really there's a lot of ugliness in his past.
There is.
You know? I don't know. I don't know about the whole dynamic there.
You know what else she did a good job of was you know how when you're interviewing somebody that you've never interviewed before, like making them feel important or good coming into the interview. Jim Rome does a really good job of that. Like when he brings on somebody, builds them up and whatnot. She's talking about the legend, Mike Tyson. And your kids, my era is going to get to see the legend, Mike Tyson.
Right.
She did a good job with that too, I thought.
And Tyson basically just gave her the rundown on how meaningless this existence really is.
So Jazzy,
You got your little microphone there and that's nice and all, but I mean we're all dust eventually.
Okay,
what's it even matter?
Let's grade them. I'm giving her a solid A.
You got to take her age into account.
Absolutely.
I thought she did a great job with it.
Great job. What grade do you give Mike Tyson as an interview subject there?
He gave an interesting answer.
Yeah,
And he was very blunt and honest. He's like an uncle that's going to tell you the truth about the way he sees life, and it's good for kids to understand that.
Yep.
You know, at what age do you start exposing him to the whole,
I'm giving him an A, too.
Different. I mean, she might go, maybe she's from a very, she might be from a very, religious family or what have you, and she's genuinely never heard anything like that at all.
Yeah.
And it was going to open her eyes, too. So I would say for Tyson, A on the answer. A on the answer. A. Whether you agree or disagree with him.
I agree.
It was a very, very honest answer. No, I got to give him a B. Shouldn't have dropped the F word on the 13-year-old interviewer.
You drop him a whole letter grade for that.
I drop
him
a letter grade, yes.
Okay.
That's a basic, you know, like, don't be swearing around young kids. No matter what your tolerance or appetite is.
I don't know.
Like, when you're around other people's children, try not to drop F-bombs.
I feel like Tyson gonna Tyson. You know what I mean? Like, A-. I'll subtract him a partial letter grade.
I give him an A for the existentialism and B for the profanity.
Yeah, A+ for the that's as existential as it gets right there. We all dust. We're dust. We're nothing. We're nothing. Let's see. There's a lot of people texting in 5-Hour Energy fan line saying that they think this thing is rigged tonight. I don't think this is rigged. There's way too much... Okay, naive Sean. There's way too much gambling action for this thing to be rigged. Well, how could they possibly rig something that people are gambling on?
Well, it's a sanctioned fight. The whole thing is, the more mainstream gambling becomes, the harder it is to rig things. There is too much money involved, and the safeguards and everything for watching it are... So, yeah, for all that, if you're somebody who believes it's rigged, you're going to believe it's rigged. We're not going to convince you otherwise.
Correct.
I don't see a reason to rig it necessarily.
No.
I think sometimes people interpret that this is rigging it, like with Mayweather versus
McGregor.
Conor McGregor. I think the boxer or the better one makes the business decision of, all right, we're going to put on a good show and I'm going to keep this guy around for, you know, and Mayweather's not like a knockout artist to begin with.
Yep.
But we're going to put on a good show.
Yeah.
That's what I wonder about with Tyson. Like, how confident is he in his ability to where he feels like he could actually just put on a good show for 8 rounds? Or does he feel like, no, man, I'm going to struggle if this thing goes into the second half and I got to come out on fire. And in which case, I don't, like, if he knocks Jake Paul out, I don't think anybody's going to think it's rigged. If it ends up being a boring 8-round, 2-minute round fight, then yeah, I think people are going to think it's rigged.
Yeah, probably. The 2-minute rounds help Tyson, obviously. Not having to go the full 3 is nice for somebody who's 58 years old.
Boxing is so hard.
Dude, it's
so exhausting.
You're tired 10 seconds
so
in.
It's so hard, man.
It's really hard.
I've done like back in my youth, we used to do charity boxing events in college, and those would be 1-minute rounds, and oh my God.
Yeah.
That's how tired you are at the end of a few 1-minute rounds.
How did you do? Were you okay at it?
I got disqualified every year. That kind of became my thing.
Okay. Now this gets interesting. It's way more interesting than yes.
Dan Lazor, younger brother of Texans coach Bill Lazor.
Yeah.
I got him into a headlock once in one of these charity matches. Yeah.
As a joke, like noogieing him, or were you legitimately angry?
Kind of half joking, kind of getting into it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. I lost the decision based on dirty boxing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, based on dirty boxing.
I had a picture of his girlfriend drawn on my on my leg, on my thigh.
On your tights.
On
your trunks. Yeah.
He's now married. He's been married to her for like 30 years.
Look at that.
There's that moment Dan realized, I'm going to fight for what's mine.
I was going to say, you probably played a big role in that. Absolutely.
So happy anniversary, Dan and Michelle.
5 Reasons I Hate You, Dallas Cowboys edition. We will do it coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln of Sugarland. On the Southwest Freeway, exit Kirkwood and take the first U-turn at West Airport under the giant American flag. It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. Let's do it. We do it every Friday before a game. We know the game's Monday night, but we're doing a lot of our Friday stuff today because I feel like some people are used to hearing it, man. Five Reasons I Hate You, Dallas edition. Should be an easy one, and it was. A lot of reasons get left.
Almost too easy.
On the cutting room floor,
Sometimes more to bounce off of Mike Tyson's existential philosophizing early on. You get that? Having too many choices can sometimes be the hardest thing in the world to handle and deal with. I've got all this choice. What do I do? You pick five and you roll with it.
That's what you do, Seth.
And you bring death, mayhem, and destruction to Arlington on Monday. That's
amen
what you do.
To that, my brother, for sure. All right, so let's get going. And I try to keep these as relevant to the present as possible because there's decades and decades and decades of baggage between these two cities, Dallas and our fair city here, Houston. So let's start with Micah Parsons. This is the low-hanging fruit. Micah Parsons has awful, awful, awful sports takes. Terrible sports takes. We played one before earlier in the show when he was debating with CJ on which team is the better in the state of Texas. This was one where the question was, mind you, this is a draft show in April of this year. So this the question that Adam Lefkoe had asked them was about the best divisions in football in 2023. Keep in mind the season is over already, all right? So we've got data now that the Giants stunk and the Commanders stunk. They're both picking in the top six.
Yeah.
Here was Micah Parsons' twisted argument as to why the NFC East was the best.
On paper, last year, we were argued the best division in football.
No, sir.
Everyone was a playoff team.
AFC North was the best division in football.
Washington was argued that...
Washington was in nothing, bro. What are you talking about?
That meant the Giants.
The Giants either. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? They lost to the Eagles.
That's 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm saying going into it.
Fam, you don't know what you're talking about.
Going into last year, the NFC
No one
North
in
was
the planet,
argued.
Except for Micah Parsons, thought the NFC East was better than the AFC North.
You can't argue that.
I can, bro, unless you're delusional.
Going into last year, we have better teams than y'all right now. Going into last year,
you thought Washington was going to be good. There's not a weak team in the AFC North. What are you talking about? Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland.
On paper, Washington was supposed to be a really great team.
Washington is not better than any one of those four teams. I guarantee you.
That's why Daniel Jones got the contract. They went to a playoff game. And then they added Darren Waller.
The Ravens, the Browns.
Then they added Darren Waller. Going into that season, they had the Giants. We were ranked third or fourth best team in the NFC.
You guys always are.
We were ranked third going into preseason.
You guys. That's not the conversation. You're trying to single it out for y'all.
Okay, good enough. My head hurts, Ben. Micah just doesn't listen.
Micah, listen, well, he moved the goalposts like three times. He turned it into like, well, what were expectations before the season?
Yeah.
In arguing about what actually happened, he was arguing about what expectations were before the season. And then he turned it into just the Cowboys themselves individually.
I tell you what, Seth, and this plays into the reason to hate Micah Parsons. We can all agree, like, CJ's had some more issues this year than he had last year just in terms of playing quarterback. A lot of them imposed by the ecosystem that he's in. The offensive line catches a lot of blame. I'm going to blame CJ spending too much time with Micah Parsons and listening, trying to argue with somebody who has the most boneheaded sports takes as being a reason why maybe CJ is not as sharp this year as he was across all of last season.
Do you think the dumbness was catching?
I think it might have been.
Do you think like somehow like his mental processing was polluted by Micah Parsons?
I think if he didn't hang out with Micah Parsons last offseason, he hits tank for that touchdown on Sunday.
That's
against
true.
Detroit.
You lay down with fleas, you rise up with fleas.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.
And he's got the stench of Micah Parsons' bad sports takes all over
him. That's it. All right. That's number five. Number four, Brandon Cooks is a Dallas Cowboy. Now, granted, he's on IR, but remember when Brandon Cooks, after the season was over in 2022, said that he didn't want to be part of a rebuild? I do.
I mean, you said get my mind right. I mean, for me, my mind's not there. You know, rebuild, like I said, that window of where your gifts are at its peak, only lasts for so long. So for me, I'm not looking at it as far as, you know, being a part of a rebuild. However that looks, that's where I trust my camp and my representation to be able to get a map from here, you know, to there to see what that looks like, to be a part of something that's a trusted plan. But I'm not going into this offseason thinking like, I want to be a part of another rebuild like that.
How'd that work out for you, Cookie? Huh?
So we jumped up and to replace Amari Cooper up there in Dallas.
Yeah.
And they're in a little bit of a... They're not even in the rebuild is the sad thing.
No, they're stuck.
Yeah, they're stuck. They just paid two guys league-leading contracts to be part of something that's great already.
Yeah.
And Brandon Cooks is on IR. And or is he on IR?
He's on IR.
He's on IR.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's on IR.
So it does. It's a cautionary tale about trying to game the system when you're choosing to go to a contender or what have you. Now,
dude,
the Cowboys, you could say, Brandon Cooks should have expected that the Cowboys would be a better team than the Texans. But now, in terms of them actually being a contender or something, there's nothing in the last 30 years that should make you believe that the Cowboys were genuinely going to be a contender.
No. God, no. No. We'll need a bolt of lightning, and I'll need to see that before I believe that ever happens again. So that's number four, Brandon Cooks is a Dallas Cowboy. I do not like Brandon Cooks. Number three.
The scowl of his face, just his permanent scowl, his belief that there's no way the Texans could ever recover. I'm guessing this was his belief. You let go of the smartest guy in the building, Jack Easterby. How could you ever turn it around without Jack Easterby, the Pied Piper leading us all to whatever the hell this is?
Right. Ironically, it's a miracle. They did it. Yeah.
They did it without Jack Easterby.
It's a miracle, Seth. They did it without the miracle worker. Number three. And there's a text on here, and I asked you guys for input, and I'll do your input at number one for five reasons I hate you for this. But we had a text saying, hey, Jerry threatened to fire those radio guys. Actually, ironically, my reason number three is going to be those very radio guys, Sean and RJ, who I like both of them. They obviously are very successful up there. But remember that time they came on with us, Seth? I think during the preseason in 2022.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys were playing the Texans in the preseason that year. And we did the thing. Gavin Spittle loves to do this, the old PD here, where he gets the two cities, sister stations arguing with each other.
Yeah,
and this was like feeding. Like the Cowboys were a good team. The Texans were a laughing stock. And so what are we going to say to talk trash to the Cowboys? And remember, we were just having a delightful conversation. And at some point I said, they asked about Davis Mills, and I said, we actually had Davis Mills on the show yesterday or whatever, and they started scoffing at us. They're like,
oh, good get.
Nice get. And I'm like, well, thanks. We have a crappy team. This is our fault. We have a crappy team. Yeah. Who's laughing now? Whose team is crappy now, boys? And they do get Jerry Jones on their show.
They probably get Cooper Rush, though, whenever they want him. Maybe.
Whenever they want him.
They might get Trey Lance. I don't know.
Yeah, they might get him. And so their show is the one that gets Jerry Jones, so good on them. They get a lot of notoriety from that. I'm guessing they didn't themselves cold call Jerry Jones and say, will you come on our show? I'm guessing it's an arranged thing with the station. But that still sticks in my craw, like that whole, like, ooh, nice job booking Davis Mills. I'm like, all right, bro, who are we supposed to book from the Texans? Like, Were we not supposed to book people? We weren't bragging. I wasn't bragging about it. I wasn't like in a...
Sounds like this is all coming back around to Jack Easterby for you.
A little bit.
And Bill O'Brien. It's the whole morass that was that 2-year period.
That was part of it, for sure.
Yeah.
Number two.
They don't do that anymore. They used to do that a lot, and I think I was too good at it. I think I landed too many punches when we would try to do the little back and forth jabbing.
I don't know how to
play nice.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll
like
go
those.
Ahead and I'll do research on your family and your ex-wife and everything, and I'll bring it out.
The heavy gloves are off. Yeah,
yeah.
Number two, this coaching staff is full of nepo babies. Brian Schottenheimer, who's never been a good OC, is the OC for this team. Chase Haslett, son of Jim Haslett, is the pass game specialist.
Oh,
John
yeah.
Fossil, the son of the late Jim Fossil, is the special teams coordinator. It's basically a nepo baby nursery up there in Arlington.
Jerry and his young son Steven want to be sure that they know that. Yeah, just when the young whippersnapper Steven, who's got to be what, like 79 by now.
Once
the young whippersnapper takes over, everything will be just fine.
Yep. Well, then Steven, if you go to their website, which I did yesterday for this segment, and look at the front office, Jerry obviously the owner and the GM. Mm-hmm. But Steven runs the business side. He's the chief operating officer. He's like Jerry's right-hand guy. Charlotte is, his daughter is in a C-level position. And his other son is the chief marketing officer. So it's a big family business up there, man.
Ursay's daughter has some role in Indianapolis where she's on the sideline. I don't know, giving information to the coach or something. There's a lot of pictures of her standing next to the
delightful
head coach. So I don't know. I'll do research at that end of the break. We'll get a bonus reasons to hate Indianapolis coming up next. But Ursay, the Ursay Brain Trust. Don't worry, everybody up in Indy. Yeah. The Ursay Brain Trust is secure.
Okay,
he's got his children involved.
The last one, where I put it to you, the fans, or you, the Texan fans, to give us a reason to hate. Most of it is about the Dallas Cowboy fans. And there's a lot of stuff in here about chaches and guys driving cars that are worth more than the apartment that they're in. You know, their car payment is higher than their rent. A lot of talk about different body gels and body sprays and things like that. I'll read a couple of them here that are not in that category. 4671, if you're a Cowboy fan, it probably means you're a fan of the Yankees, the Lakers, and Al-Qaeda.
That's probably 100%.
Yep.
I don't trust, especially if you're from outside of Dallas, but if you're a Cowboys fan, I don't trust that you're a good American.
Correct.
I feel like you're just willing to jump on, Communist Party is in charge? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go pink for you. Yeah. They want whoever's currently leading.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. 7854, Houston-born Cowboy fans. People born here, but they were raised and are still Cowboy fans, and yet they claim they root for the Astros because they're from Houston. I'm getting a lot of that, Seth, with people saying people that are combo Cowboy Astro fans.
I did
pick a lane, bro.
I talked to Sam Warren from the Chronicle about this yesterday. He wrote an article that I think is in today's paper about that first 2002 victory over the Cowboys.
Oh yeah, we got to pull that up, man.
So, as a player and as somebody who was new to Houston at the time, I didn't quite necessarily really grasp it. It was afterwards and just in the last 20 years, the one big dynamic that I didn't understand was all of the poor Houstonians who have to work alongside Cowboys fans and have to listen to their nonsense every year about how they're, this is the year they recapture their glory. This is the year they actually advance beyond the divisional round in the playoffs. This is the year because, hey, look at the Super Bowl rings. Look at all the things we did back when my grandfather was still a young man.
Right.
And they just get sick and tired of hearing about it.
Should.
How much it matters just for the water cooler discussions on Tuesday morning.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Good job, guys.
Hey,
Matt. Yeah,
that is a weird thing, by the way, too, because I started watching Simpsons again recently, just because it's been in such a long time.
Yeah,
and I realize now, boy, you want to talk about feeling old? So they're doing like a flashback to Abe Simpson when he was a younger man in a private eye.
Yeah.
Except, with the Simpsons, because everybody stays the same age all the time.
Yes.
You get these, sometimes you'll see Homer as a young teenager and it's in like the 1960s. And then other times you'll see, so now Abe Simpson is a young private detective in the 1990s.
Oh, no
way. And I'm
way.
Like, oh, my God. Oh
that's
no.
weird. That's totally weird.
This old man is like, not young, but like an adult.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Like a middle-aged, yeah.
That's a strange, stark age reminder right there, man.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I actually have an age question I want to ask you a little later in the show, but we'll get to that. We're up against it here. Up next, thank you guys, by the way, for weighing in on the text page and helping out. That's Five Reasons I Hate You, Cowboy style. Great job, people. Hey, let's stick with the game here. The two guys who can, the two guys you can't let beat you. These are the two guys for the Cowboys that can wreck the game and make Tuesday morning miserable for all of us. DeMeco talked about both of them. You'll hear from the head coach coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
I feel a little weird. This is the first Monday night game. This is where I'm kind of feeling this, Seth. Like, this is the first time we've kind of been breaking down an upcoming Texans game in a long time to where, like, oh, yeah, there's a whole nother day to break this thing down on Monday. For you and I, at least. Because we're going to be on, you know, we'll be on. By the way, Monday we will be on 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. We're normally on 6 to 8, and it's Mark Vandermeer and John Harris on from 8 to 10. They're all up in Dallas on Monday. They're going up on Sunday. So Seth and I will be on 8 to 10 as well. We'll be on our full 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. from 8 to 10. We'll have, like, Vandy and Johnny and probably Andy Kalu on in that 8 to 10 window. That's still Texans radio. But I'm excited. We get a full bite of the apple on game day for the Cowboys and the Texans. But, yeah, it's just weird. Like, we're breaking down a game, and it's like, oh, that's right. We're going to be here Monday. This is the first Monday night game for the Texans, if I'm not mistaken, since the 2019 season. I think it might be since that season opener in 2019 where they played the Saints and Deshaun Watson led that two-play 13-second drive to take the lead in that game, and then Aaron Colvin happened, and then Will Lutz kicks a 58-yard field goal, and yada, 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 game over. So it's been 5 years since we've had a Monday night game.
That was a boy, it's a shame, too, and that was a good Monday night game that
really good.
The Texans were on the wrong end of. Aaron Colvin would be benched and then off the team?
He was cut shortly thereafter. Yes, he was gone shortly after that.
That brings back such bad memories of Bill O'Brien, like, changing every... O'Brien had a long history of realizing in week one or week two, oh, you know what? Everything we banked our offseason on actually isn't what we thought
not
it was.
Work. Yeah.
So now we're gonna go in a different... Hey. You know, like, hey, Deshaun Watson, you know, it took all of one half
for him
to realize that, like, oh, yeah, we're going to take it slow with Deshaun Watson, but and not give him any first-team reps during training camp or anything. But turns out he actually is our starting quarterback.
Twice it was the starting quarterback his first four seasons here, benched after 1 week. Brian Hoyer in 2015, he got yanked for Ryan Mallett in week one.
Yeah.
As far as this game goes on Monday, there are two people who can ruin this game for you if you're a Texan fan. Two Cowboys, at least. There are some Texans that could potentially ruin the game as well. We hope they don't do that. But as far as Cowboys go, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, these are the two guys that can make life tough on Monday night and subsequently Tuesday morning. Here's DeMeco Ryans on Micah Parsons.
Going against Dallas' defense, you know, Micah is an exceptional player. Right? He plays with a relentless motor. He moves all over the place. He, you know, aligns on the edge and the A-gap. He's all over the place, and he's all over the field. He's an impact player for them. So we have to have, you know, high awareness for where he is at all times and, you know, try to do a great job of stopping him.
What I worry about with Micah Parsons isn't even his individual stats as much as what DeMeco is referring to there is that they'll move him all over the place, and because of that, you got to be keenly aware of where Micah Parsons is, and it might affect how you're going to set your pass protections, and that's where you've got a second-year player in Jarrett Patterson making the protection calls. The teams are doing a really good job of scheming up their blitzes based on what they expect the protection calls to be, and they're just baiting the Texans at this point. They're saying, hey, we're going to give you a look. We know what your center is going to call, and then we're going to blitz from the opposite direction. Have fun with that,
yep.
Okay? And it hasn't gone all that well. Hasn't gone all that well.
No.
And Micah Parsons makes it difficult to operate because of all that. And then you have Micah Parsons himself I don't worry about him as much versus the offensive tackles. I worry about when he's slanting down inside on games and stunts and blitzes to when he gets matched up on guards and at a full head of steam. That's what I get nervous about. So, yeah, Micah Parsons is, no matter what his stat line is at the end of the game, he'll have affected the Texans just by virtue of them having to pay attention. It's one more thing that they have to pay attention to in a year in which the offensive line looks like it has limited attention span.
Yes, very poor attention spans, no doubt.
And where they'll have to be on a silent count. No matter how few Cowboys fans actually show up to the game, they're going to have to be on a silent count at points in this game.
Why? Because the Texan fans will be so loud, or because that's how it goes on the road,
because they're on the road.
Just because that, I got you. Even if it's a paltry Cowboy
fan. Even if it's 30,000 fans, it's still those are the ones. That's the whole the myth about the packed crowd is that it makes that much of a difference. Like the 40,000 people who are in a stadium in a bad year tend to be the kind of people that do make a lot of noise on third downs.
That's a really good correlation right there. You're right. Those are diehards. Yeah.
It's like the last 20,000 people in the building tend not to be the kinds that are up on their feet the whole game.
That's a really interesting point. I never thought of that.
Stradley first pointed that out to me.
Seth
Stradley, who's a connoisseur of poorly attended football games.
having been a Texans fan for
over two decades, had noticed this at one point. The old 80-20 principle there.
Yep. CeeDee Lamb is the other Cowboy that can kill the game if you're a Texan fan. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the Cowboys wide receiver.
Yeah, CeeDee, man, he's so explosive. Starting with just him in the slot, like his ability to just run after catch is just, he's an exceptional player, right? He can align everywhere on the field. Like, he aligns outside, he can take the shot outside, the go balls, but he also gets inside. They move him around a lot. The coaching staff does a really nice job of just putting him in a lot of different spots where you have to have great eyes for where he is at all times, because he is their top playmaker, and he's proven even when eyes are on him, he can still make plays. So it's a big task for us, stopping CD, but it's going to take everybody. It's not going to be about one person stopping him. It's going to take everybody on the defense.
Okay, so a lot of people reading into that quote yesterday, Seth, like, all right, I guess Stingley's not going to follow CD Lamb around. You know, that last part, it's going to take a lot of people to...
Right. And truth be told, look, if you're a good defense, a mediocre defense, or a bad defense in the league, they've done a good job of limiting C.D. Lamb this year. Yeah. You know, he's had one game with over 100 yards versus the 49ers 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Last week he had 21 yards versus the Eagles. Week before that he had 47 yards against the Falcons. He's been limited. He's got the lowest yards per catch in his career. But don't be that team. Just like it is, hey, the Jets have some good wide receivers. They hadn't really done much for most of the season. And then, lo and behold, there's Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams breaking your back. So, yeah, don't be that team that lets CeeDee Lamb go off and have a vintage CeeDee Lamb day.
That's interesting because, a lot of these wide receiver contracts got doled out this offseason. I think the Vikings are perfectly happy with Justin Jefferson. I think the Bengals didn't pay Jamar Chase yet, I don't think. But the CeeDee Lamb contract has not worked out great. I don't think a lot of that's because of CD.
Brandon Ayuk hasn't worked out great.
Ayuk is the big one. That's why I was going to get to that. Ayuk is the big one. That wasn't working out even before he got, he was not good before he got hurt. That was someone who was clearly impacted by not having a training camp, Brandon Ayuk. But it's interesting because that's the new big ticket market to go alongside the quarterback. And the quarterback market is working out abysmally right now for teams that are spending big there, you know?
But then you look at the Eagles, and we talked about this earlier, you know, the Eagles are 1-2 and they don't have A.J. Brown.
Correct.
It's just a whole different deal.
Nico.
The two games they lost were without A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
And Nico is that guy.
Yep.
He's the straw that stirs the drink in a lot of ways.
Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. A lot of people texting in on this Cowboy-Astro combo fan that got brought up during Five Reasons I Hate You. Combo-Astro-Cowboys fan, probably an age group thing. The ones that grew up with no NFL team in Houston. Okay, there was only a 6-year window with no NFL team in Houston. It's not like it was 20 years. Feels like a very specific window.
Yeah, but if somebody was, say, 13 years old when the Oilers left.
Yeah.
And then you become a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
I get that. We can give a pass. We'll give an age group pass where if you were somewhere hovering around puberty age
yep.
when the Oilers left.
95 then, through the Texans getting here, we'll call
yeah,
it. Yeah.
Then you're allowed to have that allegiance.
You escape ridicule. That's your benefit. That's your immunity.
Well, you've got amnesty.
Amnesty. That's
but only in that
for.
Age group.
Right,
yeah.
right. Cowboy fans at my job have been surprisingly quiet this year. Someone texts in. I'm not surprised. Not surprised.
This is
at
the
all.
Year, though. No, I think this is the first year. Really, I really sense the large scale disillusionment.
Jumping
like,
off.
Cowboys
yeah.
fans had been. Just delusional by nature, the word that CJ used in the offseason. They were living off of the glory of several decades ago and acting like they were that same team. This is the first year where I feel like en masse, Cowboys fans have said, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't been genuinely good in a long, 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 long time.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize it.
Yeah. Oh, my
wow.
God. I'm
okay.
ugly. Holy cow, I'm ugly.
Yeah.
All right, Seth Payne put up a poll. There is a Payne poll that he put up yesterday, and I think it validates that some of the smoke out there about the Texans and the dissatisfaction may be a very, very small minority. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if you agree, but we'll see what the results of the poll that Seth put up yesterday about that very topic. We'll talk about that. We'll dig more into this matchup with the Cowboys. It's all coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.